Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, as we come to Holy Week and the Paschal Triduum, we say those words that we always use at the beginning of our prayer with extra meaning. I firmly believe that you are here. You became man. You suffered and died on the cross for love of me, for each one of us. And you rose again to fill us with hope, to complete that work of redemption. I ask pardon for my sins, because it was my sins that nailed you to the cross. I adore you with profound reverence. You are God, and you did all of this for me. And we go to Our Lady, who accompanied you so closely in your passion, especially on the way to Calvary and during those 3 hours on which you hung on the cross. Help us to make this time of prayer, not only this brief meditation, but this Paschal Triduum, these days of Holy Week, to make them fruitful. They can be so helpful in our spiritual life. And we come to Holy Thursday and the evening Mass of the Lord's Supper. And we read in the second reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. You gave us the Eucharist to make present your sacrifice of Calvary down the ages until the end of time. And in the very words of the institution, this body that is for you, that is given up for you, that will die for you tomorrow on the cross, and the cup, the new covenant in my blood. And we go back to that old covenant that God made with Moses. And Moses gave them the Ten Commandments, and then they agreed to abide by them. And he took the blood of an animal and sprinkled some of it on the altar representing God and some of it on the people. That covenant was sealed with the blood of an animal. And now, Lord, some 1,200 years later, you come to introduce the new covenant, and you say, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, not the blood of an animal, your blood, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And you did it within the Passover, as the Jews had celebrated religiously from that first Passover that we read about in the first reading from the book of Exodus. But now the new covenant replaces the old, fulfills it, makes it perfect, and it is the covenant in your blood. And St. Paul begins that passage on the night he was handed over, on the very night when Judas would betray you. You were giving us this sacrament of love. Such contrasting attitudes between Judas and you. Judas, that chosen one, one of the 12, will betray you for 30 pieces of silver, as if you were a piece of merchandise. Pope Francis, in his Wednesday audience in Holy Week of 2014, commented, "Today, in the middle of Holy Week, the liturgy presents to us a sad episode, the account of Judas' betrayal, who goes to the heads of the Sanhedrin to bargain and deliver his master to them. How much will you give me if I deliver him to you?" At that moment, the Pope goes on, Jesus had a price. This tragic act marks the beginning of Christ's passion, the painful way he chose with absolute liberty. He himself says it clearly, "I lay down my life, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." And thus, with this betrayal, the way begins of humiliation, of Jesus' stripping, as if it was in the market. This costs 30 denarii. Once the way of humiliation and stripping is undertaken, Jesus sees it through to the end. And contrasting with that attitude of Judas to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, Jesus' love. On the very night he was betrayed, he institutes the sacrament of love, which is the Eucharist. And this is, in a sense, his response, Lord, your response, to man's sinfulness, to the sinfulness of that apostle. And as St. John tells us in the Gospel, he loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. And then, Lord, you gave us those three manifestations of your love. In the first place, as we read in the Gospel, you wash the feet of the apostles. So during supper, St. John tells us, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." And Lord, you wash their feet as a manifestation of your love, of your self-humiliation to serve your servants, to serve your disciples, to serve us. And you explain it afterwards. "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the Master and Teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you also do. You serve. The Son of Man came to serve and not to be served. And this whole washing of their feet speaks to us of that washing of the sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of penance. And you do that washing before instituting the Eucharist, as if to say to us, unless you are clean, you cannot receive my body and blood. And none of us is clean. We are all sinners, and we need that sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of penance. It reveals your infinite mercy. God, who sheds his blood for the sinner, God, who forgives the sinner who comes to him begging for forgiveness. You forgive all sins, no matter how grave or how many. There is no sin that you are not able and willing always to forgive. Pope Francis narrates his experience when he was 17 on the feast of Saint Matthew. The calling of Matthew, that sinner, that publican, when he went to confession, and after that confession in that bath of mercy, he felt on the one hand the mercy of God who had just forgiven him, and at the same time the calling to be a Jesuit. The forgiveness of sin, but at the same time the God who loves the sinner, who forgives the sinner, calls him to serve him as a Jesuit, first as a priest, then as a bishop and archbishop, and now as pope. The mercy of God. And following that, he chose as his motto, in Latin, miserando atque eligendo, showing forgiveness and choosing and calling. The very sinner is now called to serve him, as Matthew the sinner, the tax collector, was called to serve as an apostle. And the young 17-year-old Jorge Bergoglio, forgiven and called to be a Jesuit. And Lord, we give thanks to you that he said yes. What good he is doing for the church. And we learn from this to give thanks to you for this great sacrament of mercy that we all need, that we call often, and that we take others with us, especially at this time of Holy Week. So many who are perhaps thinking of returning after many years, who will be helped by our encouragement, by our invitation, and always preceded and accompanied by our prayer and our penance. And those words that the Pope began to say only a few days after his election, and he put in his apostolic exhortation, the Gospel of Joy, God never tires of forgiving us. It is we who tire of asking for forgiveness, that we never tire of asking for forgiveness. So that first manifestation, Lord, of your love, washing the feet of the apostles and symbolizing by that the sacrament of penance. And then the second great manifestation of your love, you institute the Eucharist, the sacrament of love, which is on the one hand a sacrifice and a sacrament. As a sacrifice, it is the Mass, and it makes present your sacrifice of love, that uttermost proof of your love, where you died on the cross for us sinners. And you had said, no greater love does a man have than that he lay down his life for his friends. And perhaps a few men might be willing to lay down their life for their friends. Maximilian Kolbe comes to mind. But Lord, you went beyond that. You were God, you weren't man. And you didn't lay down your life for your friends. You laid down your life for your enemies. All of mankind, all of us, estranged from you by original sin and so many personal sins. And you laid down your life for these poor sinners that we are. What a great outpouring of love your sacrifice on Calvary is and was, and we make it present in every Mass. Every Mass is that one and only sacrifice of Calvary. We are present at it. We are not repeating it. We are making it present. And help us to value this sacrifice, which is of infinite value. It makes up for all the sins of the world. It drowns out evil in an abundance of good. It is a triumph of love over evil, over hatred. And then the Eucharist is a sacrament of love, not only a sacrifice. You give yourself to us as food in that blessed sacrament. And as you said in the synagogue of Capernaum, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. You live in us. We live in you. We are one with you. This is truly communion, union with God. It is an anticipation of heaven. It is heaven on earth. We are one with you. What greater love can you show us than to give yourself to us in that great sacrament? Saint Jose Maria uses an analogy of a mother taking her infant, pressing that infant to her breast and saying, I love you so much I could eat you. We understand the meaning of that, that hug of the mother for her infant. She wants to be one with her infant and she loves him so much she could eat him. And Lord, we say the same. I love you so much I could eat you. And you say, take and eat. This is my body. And we become one with you. It is truly heaven on earth. And then that sacrament of love remains in the tabernacle where you wait for us. You could have ascended into heaven and not left yourself on earth, but you chose to remain in every tabernacle of the world, probably hundreds of thousands of tabernacles, focuses of love, of light, of warmth in this dark world, where you wait for us. You respond to that request of the two disciples of Emmaus, stay with us, Lord. And you stayed. You stay in the tabernacle. And you invite us to come to you. Come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. You stay with us. And Lord, help us to be grateful for your presence in the tabernacle. Help us to seek you out every day, if possible, to make that visit to you in the Blessed Sacrament. Perhaps just to say a few words, Jesus, I love you. Hello, Jesus, help me with whatever. Or perhaps we stay a little bit longer and pray there. It is the easiest place to pray. You are there in what Saint Jose Maria called that prison of love. You are locked up, but you stay there willingly out of love for us. And so often when we go into a church, we are the only one there. You are alone in that prison waiting for us. At least we will keep you company. that we adore you in this blessed sacrament, in the tabernacle, and especially if we have Eucharistic adoration in our parish church, that we seek you out there to adore you, to thank you for remaining on earth in that great sacrament. In the Boxer Rebellion of 1900, when the Chinese were rising up against the Western powers and looked upon Christianity as a Western religion and inimical to the Chinese way of life, they began to destroy churches, take away the sacred vessels, and arrest priests. And in one country town, they had opened the tabernacle and taken it away and scattered the hosts on the floor of the church and arrested the priest. And it so happened that there was a young girl in the back of the church, and they hadn't seen her. And she saw what had happened. She went back home and told her parents. And the following night, under cover of darkness, she snuck past the guards into the church. And for 1 hour, she adored you in the Blessed Sacrament. And then she consumed one of the hosts. And the following night, she did the same. And the one after that, for 32 nights, because there were 32 hosts. And the last night, she surprised one of the guards on the way home. He chased her down and beat her to death. And the parish priest, who was in a nearby house under arrest, saw this, but could do nothing. And the word of that beautiful martyrdom spread from church to church, from community to community, and eventually it reached the ears of the young Father Fulton Sheen, that great evangelist of the United States. And he resolved then and there to do a holy hour before the Blessed Eucharist every day for the rest of his life. And he did that. And Lord, help us to have that love of that girl, the love of Fulton Sheen, love for you in this great sacrament of love, to prepare well for communion with faith, cleansed of mortal sin, having lived the Eucharistic fast, so that we can receive you at least as well as possible within our sinfulness. And then finally, the third manifestation of your love, you begin your passion with your prayer in the garden. Your hour has come. That hour that had not come at Cana now has arrived. And as you say in the Gospel of John, it is the hour for you to be glorified, but at the same time, you know that it is an hour of suffering. And you wonder whether you should ask the Father to be spared the hour, but you say, no, for this I have come. And you go out into the garden to pray. And your soul was sorrowful, even unto death, because you went before the Father in that prayer, burdened by all the sins of mankind, all of my sins, all of the sins of everyone. And you stood before the Father, weighed down by all the sins of mankind. You were the murderer. You were the adulterer. You were the thief. And you who were all innocent are weighed down by our sins, and so are sorrowful even unto death, and you sweat blood, as St. Luke tells us. And then you were sorrowful because Judas had betrayed you. The apostle sold you for 30 pieces of silver, and you knew that. And then you come to Peter, James, and John, your chosen ones that you had called to be closer to you because you wanted human company in your humanity, which suffered so much, and they were asleep. And you said, watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing enough, but the flesh is weak. Peter, James, and John asleep. Judas, wide awake in his treachery. And then you would have thought, too, of all those souls down the ages who, in spite of your love for them and your sacrifice for them, would not be saved. By their own free choice, they would reject your merciful love at the end and not be saved. And what sorrow that would have caused you. And then, too, yes, the thought of your own physical suffering, which was so great. All of this is your response of love to that betrayal of Judas. And in his Wednesday audience on Wednesday of Holy Week 2014, Pope Francis went on to say, Jesus reaches complete humiliation with his death on the cross. It is the worst death, that reserved for slaves and criminals. Jesus was considered a prophet, but he died as a criminal. And he goes on, we expect God in his omnipotence to defeat injustice, evil, sin, and suffering with a triumphant divine victory. Instead, God shows us a humble victory, which humanly seems a failure. We can say that God conquers in failure. In fact, the Son of God appears on the cross as a defeated man. He suffers, is betrayed, is despised, and finally dies. However, Jesus allows evil to rage on him, and he takes it upon himself to defeat it. His passion is not an incident. His death, that death, was written. Truly, we do not find many explanations. It is a disconcerting mystery, the mystery of God's great humility. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. We think so much of Jesus' grief this week, and we say to ourselves, this is for me. Even if I were the only person in the world, he would have done it. He did it for me. We kiss the crucifix and we say, for me. Thank you, Jesus, for me. And Lord, help us to do that, to thank you for all that you suffered for me, for each one of us. Help us to show our gratitude by our penance, by our prayer, by our effort to avoid crucifying you again by our sins, by our effort to go often to Mass, to receive you well in Holy Communion, to visit you in the Blessed Sacrament, to adore you, and to help many others to do that, to accompany you along this way of the cross. And we go to Our Lady, Mary, you who were there on the way of the cross and at Calvary, suffering unspeakably as your Son died slowly in that agony of crucifixion. Mary, help us to love Jesus, to be grateful for all that he has done for us. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.